This month, the month of November, is the blessing. Today, we're talking about the blessing of spiritual community, and I have invited the Goshevsky family, Megan, Michael, Ian, and Marcus. Beautiful members of our community, and they're going to testify to love. Throughout the month, you'll have reflected back to you what you mean to one another, and so I'd like to welcome and ask you to welcome the Goshevskys.
Thank you all. Asking us, or asking me personally, why I love coming to Unity is like asking me why I love my family. You know, there's just not enough words that could possibly encompass that. But to put it shortly, when I was looking for a spiritual community, I wanted a place that is accepting of all. I wanted a place where the spiritual leaders are not only inspired, but also inspiring, woke. I wanted a place that doesn't necessarily teach dogma, but yet draws from a variety of different spiritual traditions. I wanted a place where my children, my wife, myself, feel welcome. I wanted to know that my inconspicuous family will be accepted and loved. And I wanted a band that I feel when I leave here is ready to rock this place out, man. And I was ready to feel inspired. I wanted that. I prayed for that. I claimed that. And that's what I got. That's why I'm at Unity. Thank you.
I like Sunday school.
There we go.
Music.
Yes.
Yes.
You go.
Okay. That's all right. This one's a little nervous. Wow. Thank you, Reverend Michael. And that's it. I would reiterate that as well. I really would just love to say that this community makes me feel whole, and I love the spiritual family. I love being here so much so I love Reverend Darlene, and I love the staff that I pushed myself forward to finish up a ministerial license that I started back in 2008 because of this community. And I've gotten to speak here a few times, and it just touches my heart to be up on this stage and to just feel the love every time I walk here. This land is a spiritual vortex. For those of you who don't know, we've had some amazing experiences here on this land. This building is sacred. This place is holy, but really, it's the people that are holy. So thank you all for welcoming us and loving us as much as we welcome and love you.
Unity because I can interact with the kind people, and sometimes I get to learn funny stories, but they also have value. And that's why I love Unity.
Okay, so now we will turn it back over to Kat and the Unity band to bring us home.
Thank you, Goshevsky family. Wow.
To call my own with all the
Well, I finally found I'm home. Now, when you hold me in your arms with no malice and no harm, and all our hearts are one, there's no record to be won. The sweetest thing I've ever known, a place to rest and call my own, with all the years out on my own. Well, I finally found I'm remain standing, if you will, for a moment as our band. Thank our band. Thank you for being here. And turn and thank one another because you are part of this spiritual home. Thank you. And wave to our camera to those that are not here for whatever reason. And wherever the location, you are part of the spiritual community. Love you all. Thank you. You may be seated. I'm finally home. Welcome home. Welcome into a spiritual community that does not put fences around God or love or belonging or you. Welcome to a spiritual community that seeks to nurture the soul and spark the spirit and nurture your potential. Welcome to a spiritual community that is here to help you grow roots and wings, that knows that you have many things still to discover, and that you have even more to share. Welcome to a spiritual community that truly knows that every encounter is a holy encounter, that every face is the face of God, and that every day is an opportunity for us to show up to be the hands and the feet of God. How many of you want to be a part of that community that know you are a part of community? I know you do. I feel it. As I said earlier, the month of November, our theme is the blessing. Each week is a sub-theme, and the theme today is the blessing, spiritual community. Now, there's no way in the world I could have created the convergence that brought all of these things together. Who would have known that these would have been complete around this time of year to be mounted for this, to display the beauty, the diversity, the wings that remind us that we have roots and wings, and yet at this point in history, at this point in time, so much more than ever, this is a home base. And boy, aren't we blessed to have a home base in the Blue Ridge Mountains of North Carolina. This is a home base with as many people as we can cram into this building and on this property. And this is simply a home base and wings out around the globe for people that you're going to be meeting many of this month. Give yourself a hand for creating that and for being a part of that. And so have you considered, really considered, the blessing of spiritual community? That if you really think about it, what a gift and a precious privilege it is. Do you know there are many parts of places in the world where you can't do this? It's such a gift and a true blessing. Have you thought about how you personally benefit and what you gain? Have you ever thought about, because I think about this, it's like, what would I miss if I weren't a part of this, if it was not possible? What would I miss? I think about that a lot. Have you considered what you give, what you contribute? Whether it's intentionally or unintentionally, your very presence adds value to this collective. That spiritual community is such a blessing. I believe Rabbi and farmer Jonathan Omerman really summed it up nicely when he said, spiritual community inspires us and equips us. Spiritual community gives us a sense of meaning and direction and of life that is bigger than one's own. Spiritual community, it's hope and healing without therapy. That may be the best definition I've ever heard of spiritual community, sometimes called the church. But spiritual community really speaks to my soul. The blessing of spiritual community. And, you know, it's really important and to understand that we all need time alone by ourselves. It's important to self-reflect. It's important to work on yourself. But there's a reason that in Buddhism, the path of enlightenment contains three jewels. If you know the three jewels of enlightenment, they're called the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. The three jewels of enlightenment are the Buddha, the Dharma, which is the truth, and the Sangha, which is the community. The reason for that is because the work that we do on ourselves, really the rubber hits the road when we are in relationship. Amen? That if you could live in an ashram and be by yourself all the time, life might go a little bit easier. If you could just be around people who voted like you, believed like you, wanted the same things as you, it might be easy, but it would be incredibly boring after a while. It's in community. It's in relationship. And so that's why we need to work on ourselves. We need to reflect. We absolutely do. And we need to do that with one another in relationship. It's important to have those primary relationships where it's really close and in your face. It's important to have those familia, the family, the ones that are familiar, even though we say, for God's sakes, how did I wind up in this family? It's important to have that. It brings something out. But it's also very, very important to create community where you intend to be a part, to grow, to be grown, to evolve, and the wealth that we share together, the inner resourcefulness, the wisdom, and the collective energy that we form together is something that not only do we give to, but now it returns to us as fuel. That's why the scripture says where two or three are gathered, there's something very powerful that happens in coming together around spiritual interest and spiritual understanding. Sometimes, as a minister, let's say I'm on a flight or maybe in an interfaith meeting, sometimes I'm asked the question, so what does your church do? Meaning, do you build houses for the homeless? Do you collect food and serve meals to those in need? What does your spiritual community do? Do you work in missions or help refugees? Or are you out in the street? What does your church do? And I've really thought about that. And today, when people ask me, I'm so happy to tell them. I say, you know, Unity people are very involved, and we do all of those things because they do all of these things. But let me tell you what the spiritual community does. Have you ever heard of a spiritual filling station? This is a spiritual filling station. We inspire people to be inspiring people. This is the place where people come together that their spirits can be fed. Their souls are sparked. They remember what's most important. They re-anchor and re-ground in truth and compassion and love, and they're supported in that so that we can then go out into the world and do what is important in whatever is ours to do. But to be a spiritual filling station is the most important thing spiritual communities do. But I don't stop there. I say, and Unity of the Blue Ridge is not just any spiritual filling station. Have you seen the movie The Green Book? We are a Route 66 filling station, like we're available in the Jim Crow era. We are a place that is a haven of safety for all who choose to come. We are a place in where everybody, there are no fences around love. There are no boundaries that say you can have communion, but you're not worthy. We are a Route 66 filling station that offers love and spiritual food for any and everyone who will come. That is a powerful, powerful gift. Because what we know and what we believe above all is, like Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said, the way to peace is peace. The way to the benevolent community is to be a benevolent community. And so we are all about economic justice and social reform, and we are all about addressing the isms and all of those things that are divisive. We're all about social and political and economic things that serve the greater good. But we realize that before we can address any of these things, we first have to make sure we do it with a transformed mind and a transformed heart. That this is a spiritual filling station where we come to fill up our hearts and our souls and remember so that we can go out and be instruments in peace and light and love, and that we're not all trying to go build houses. God knows that is not my gift. We're not all trying to go march in the streets. Some of you would rather go spend a night in prison. We're not all trying to reform certain things, but you're doing what's yours to do from a place of my cup is full, my soul is full. Can you see the value of that? And then we pick certain things together that we do because there's great value in that. But what I want us to really see, and I believe what this is about for me, is for me to remember, is there anything any more important than we can do for one another than to create the sacred space together? Our world needs spiritual filling stations that will really help people refuel and heal and mend. And so today I have created an altar of sorts. It came to my awareness that there's five very important things that we do as a spiritual community, that five very important attributes that are born out of naturally of being spiritual community. I want to begin with the first, And the first is bread. Did anybody smell bread baking when you came in this morning? Did you think you did? I actually baked these yeast rolls here this morning. And this is a sanitary cloth, just like my mom and grandma do. That's how they keep them warm. And Reverend Christie is going to have some serving gloves. And so after the service, I hope a few of you hungry souls who don't have any yeast intolerance will enjoy will enjoy some of that bread. You know who you are. The first thing that we do, bread symbolizes spiritual nourishment. This week I was on an interfaith Zoom and they started with an icebreaker and I loved the question. They said, what is the best meal you've ever had? As soon as I heard the question, my mind went to Italy. Oh, the food. But then my mind went to my grandmother's. Oh, her biscuits. And then my mind went here and there. And then that little voice said, let the questions bring out what it wants to bring out. And so I listened to that question again. What is the best meal you've ever had? And I closed my eyes just a minute, and I went to Mexico. In 2006, I had the opportunity to go to a Mayan village in Mexico where they live in huts. My prayer partner, the Reverend Kristen Powell, and I spent the day with a Mayan shaman, some of the elders. And I was hungry. I did not take a snack. I don't know why, because I usually do. But I was hungry. It was getting on in the day, and we were back at the village. We were interacting with the children and their few pets. We got to see inside of the clay homes where they live. And I could smell something. The spices were different. It wasn't familiar to me, but boy, it smelled good. And as the day went on, they invited us, and I noticed that there was a fire where people earlier, where I had seen a chicken, I was pretty sure that that was the one on the fire. And there were some tending the fire and tending that one chicken. There were women who were making some bread and preparing things. When the time came, they had this outside space where they set us all down and people came and they served the plates and the children were involved in serving. And the food, it was a very meager meal compared to what we're accustomed to. It was spices that were very different. I can't at all say it was the best food I ever had, but it very well may have been the best meal. And the reason why is because the spirit of their hospitality, the spirit of their generosity, the spirit of them honoring everybody played some sort of role. Even we as guests, they saw as an honored role, that everybody played a role. And when I experienced that meal, my spirit was fed. When I left, I was full and running over. You see, as a spiritual community, the essential thing that we do is provide spiritual nourishment that meets you where your hunger is. Do you hear that? Meets you where your hunger is. It's spiritual food that will feed your spirit. And when your spirit is fed, it is well with your soul. It is spiritual nourishment that is served with hospitality and generosity and communion. Because each of you are playing a part. Even if you think, no, I'm just showing up and sitting here, you're not. Your consciousness, your presence, I want you to hopefully feel the value of the preciousness of what you create. And I want those of you that are virtual, this does not disclude you. It does not exclude you. As a matter of fact, I believe we're entering into an era for such a time as this, that we need to be joined together around the globe. And I want you to know that your presence as a part of this community matters. Would you show them we appreciate that? The heart of spiritual community is spiritual food. The heart of spiritual community, number two, is that everybody has a place at the table. Isn't that a beautiful thing? That no one's left behind, no one's left out. In a lot of cultures, when people set their table, they always set an extra space to just remind people that there's always place at the table for any who will be our guest. And so all are welcome. We don't put fences up. I want to introduce you to one couple and one individual. Would you please show us Gregory and Stephanie Samuel? And hopefully in just a second you're going to see Gregory and Stephanie Samuel, and this is what they sent to you today. Hi, Unity. We live in Edgewood, New Jersey. We're part of the Blue Globe community at Unity Blue Ridge. We join you online because even though we are virtual, we feel a sincere sense of camaraderie, community, and an atmosphere that promotes our spiritual growth. The weekly Sunday messages have greatly elevated our thinking and inspired us to operate from a higher consciousness level, which is having a great impact not only on our lives, but on the way we see the world and interact with others. We are proud to call Unity of the Blue Ridge our home. Gregory and Stephanie, we are proud to call you part of this spiritual community. Richard, would you give me that song? I next want to introduce you to Kathleen Swanson, who goes by Kathy Swanson. Kathy said, if I were to drive to your Sunday service, it would take me one day and 14 hours to travel 2,718 miles from Seattle, Washington. When I watch on Sunday mornings, I sit down in my living room sofa with my kitty curled up next to me and send the signal to my large TV monitor to watch and listen. I'm not dressed in my Sunday best because there's 3 hours difference. I'm still in my PJs most of the time. But I watch and I listen to the wonderful music, to Reverend Darlene's inspiring talks and singing voice, to guest speakers and more. If I miss a live Sunday, I always go to the website and watch any one of the video recorded services. I donate online. I join classes remotely. I pursue a host of resources. And I join celebrations remotely. I also meet new people and relate to their stories and more. Keep it up, and I'll keep tuning in on Sundays. Love and prayers, Kathy Swanson. A spiritual community is about spiritual nourishment. A spiritual community is about there's place at the table for everyone. A spiritual community is about spiritual tools. There's a spiritual toolbox here. And do you know you never get all your tools or all your tools refined to the ability they can be refined? That we all bring in our tools, we share the tools, but this is the place that we learn and we commit to practice spiritual tools. We learn how to pray and meditate. We learn the quality of our thoughts. We learn to give consideration to differences. We learn how to be the place where God shows up. Those are the tools that we gather. Reverend Andy Carlson, when he first started attending, he and his wife Lauren looked for a church, and he came up to me one Sunday and said, Reverend Darlene Strickland, is this a church that equips? And I knew what he was asking. In a nutshell, he was saying, is this a church where you just want a bunch of followers, or is this a church where you want people to be leaders, to get out and do their thing? And I said, oh, this is a church that equips. And so now he's out doing his own thing because we equipped him to do so. And that's what we're all about, is helping people find their place and do that. In the Old Testament, before Moses, before the children of Israel were given the Ten Commandments, before things were broken down into rules, people overlook something that's very important. The people were given what is called Mamkaskavit Kauhasnam. Mamkaskavs Kauhaskam. They were told that above all they were to be a kingdom of priests. In today's language, what that means is it said, community, you're to be a group of people who go out and demonstrate the blessings of God. You see, that toolbox helps us to be the people who go out and live God, be the blessings of God. And so we have spiritual nourishment. We have a place at the table for everyone, and creating that place is important. We commit to developing our spiritual tools, which leads us to roots and wings. And again, I could not have my own self orchestrated how we would have wings literally showing up today. And you're going to hear some stories next Sunday. You've heard about Kat, one of our members, and you know that she needed a kidney and got a kidney transplant. You may know that that individual came from community, and next Sunday we're going to share a little bit about that story and the role some of you played in that that you may not even know you played. This is the place where people like Pam Rogers and Charlie Rogers, they refuel their tanks, and then they go out and teach, and they go out and bring people together. This is the place where each and every one of you, in your own way, without comparing, find your roots and your wings. And then finally, the window. We are a spiritual community that recognizes that every individual is a doorway to the divine, that I namaste. And that every encounter is an opportunity for me to be the way, to be the doorway of the divine. I hope all of you can really take that in, that you create spiritual nourishment. You create and take a place at this table, which is very important. You partake in creating and enjoying a spiritual toolbox. You partake in your own roots and wings, and being instrumental in helping others. Did you see these two little boys up here? Do you realize you're creating a space in a Sunday school program where they're finding roots and wings? That you create a place where you know yourself as the doorway of the divine, and we come to behold that in one another. I think we all need to stand and give an applause for what it means to be spiritual community. That's a powerful calling. A powerful calling, a powerful opportunity. Spiritual community.
So we're part of one family, the family of God. Living one life, we're in this together, and we're finding our way. Let love be our guiding light, and on course we'll stay.
Mary Kay, Dave, would you join me?
We're part of one family. It's the family of God, breathing one spirit, living one life. We're in this together, finding our
true that you are one family. You are a familiar. You are like in spirit. Just as the light that would illuminate any lamp, every light is an expression of light, the light itself, the source, God itself. And yet every lampshade is unique and beautiful. You see yourself as the lampshade. You come here to remember you are the light. But the light in this situation is not to be understood as greater than the lampshade. I hope you will hear that. Because in this dimension, without the lampshade, the light cannot be the light. The light cannot be the light without a means, a vehicle, a body to express it. the message of Jesus, and so many master teachers, those who have embodied this and brought it back and sought to teach it. The message has been misplaced and attached to the messenger. I ask the minister to wear the robe today to get the self out of the way and to serve as communal vessel. That this is about each and every one of you. This is the time for each and every one of you to take your place at the table. You may say that I have taken my place before. I take it with delight, and you have, and I say thank you. And yet I say there is a new table prepared before you and is calling you higher. And will you take your place at this table? Because it is your gift, it is your calling, it is your joy, and it is your choice. To take your table will allow you to discover the wings that you know not yet of. It will allow you to enjoy and experience the roots that you already have. And yet those roots don't know how strong they are until the storm comes and the plant can still rise and shine and say, look at me as I bring forth the gifts of the glory of God. And when you look at me, don't see me. See the gifts and the spirit. See the light that operates through me. And let me reflect that back to you, that your lampshade is there to reflect the light that is the light that is calling you to this table again in a new way, for a new blessing, for a new dispensation. Are you ready? We let that soak in. You just let it land where it lands. And in this place, to offer your prayer, to signal your receptivity wherever you are in your life and whatever that looks like for you. Your time to share your receptivity, however that looks for you. And so we're part of one family, the family of God, breathing one spirit, living. Opportunity to turn and look at each and every one of these. And to know for them, you're meant to be here. I know that for you. You're meant to be here. You see, these little boys brought me to tears easy. Anybody else? Now you're bringing me to tears because I know you're meant to be here. Can you look at one another with that love? I know you're meant to be here. And I know I'm bound to have a tissue somewhere. There's got to be a tissue in this building. Ah, thank you, my friend. Yay for the tissue man. You know, we call this the Church of the Loving Runny Mascara. I don't even know why I bother.
We're part of one family. Look around. The family of God, breathing one spirit, living one life. We're in this together.
Finding our way.
Finding our way.
Let Namaste. You are beautiful. You are beautiful. Thank you. You may be seated. I tell you what, you never ever know what's going to happen around here. Amen.